Real Estate Radio 94.9 News Now, stimulating talk. Byron Lazine, Rob Wallace from the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate. We've got Brian Skelly with us here from William Ravis Mortgage. We'll have Chaz Cook joining the program a little bit later. Brian, it was important. Rob and I, Chaz, we were all talking before the show, and we got to get straightened out on all the new information that's coming out this week alone here in the mortgage world. FHFA increased the conforming loan limits. What does that mean for buyers? Does this make home shopping more affordable for some home buyers in certain categories? We also had what seems to be a stabilization of the 30-year fixed rate. Rob, I don't know if buyers are saying to you, hey, I feel like I can take a breath on my home search right now, because we're not seeing that day-to-day volatility. In fact, the last couple of weeks, it's been on a downward trend, even ending the week in the low sevens. Is that what buyers are saying?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Brian, I don't know if you can answer this, but are you seeing...
I'll try my best.
Try your best. The national rate came down to the low sevens, you know, 7.15, you know, 7.13 one day, 7.15 the end of the week on the 30-year fixed. Are there people this week that have qualified at a 6% something?
Oh, we're jumping right to that. I was saving that for later, but well, that's all right. Let's get into it. So you keep in mind when you read these articles, that is the average. And so rates are determined by down payment and credit score. So if you're doing a lower down payment and you got a credit score in the 600s, the rate's going to be higher. Now, also, if you're doing a bigger down payment, and you have a high credit score, the rate's better. And the answer to your question, I did have one buyer this week. It was like kind of the perfect buyer. 40% down is the best category, great credit scores. And I quoted him a rate. It started with a 6. It happened.
Wow. And that's 40%. So for everyone listening, that's 40% down. That's putting...
Yeah, not everybody's going to get that. Yeah. You got to be a 40% down buyer and have great credit.
$500,000
on the best category.
You're putting in $200,000 cash money. Also this week, Brian, on the FHA new conforming loan limits, they increase this number every year, it feels like. Have you ever seen a decrease?
I haven't seen a decrease, but there was like 10 years in a row that they didn't increase it at all.
They've been increasing it, and not increasing it by a little bit lately, increasing it by a lot. Maybe this is to keep up with the values of homes and how they've accelerated. Obviously, there's a calculation there.
For sure.
And this increase this year, conforming loan limit went up over $40,000. What does this do for home buyers? What are the numbers? How much can you borrow? And what is a conforming loan limit? Because I'm using a word that
sure.
You may not be familiar
with. Yeah, this is kind of some mortgage lingo. So that probably the more common way to describe this is what's considered a jumbo loan. A lot of people are more familiar with that term, jumbo loan. So jumbo loan's a big mortgage. And so, you know, the technical reason is these loans, if they're under that loan amount, they're eligible for sale to Fannie Mae, which is like what most banks do for most mortgages. The most common loan is a conforming loan.
If you're a buyer under jumbo, you want Fannie Mae.
Yeah, you don't really have to worry all so much. I mean, if you're a buyer, you don't have to know all the lingo of where the mortgage is going, but it's basically there's this big organization called Fannie Mae, and they make the rules, and a lot of banks sell their loans to Fannie Mae. So to do a loan that's a Fannie Mae loan is good for banks because it's a popular, easy loan for the bank to sell, but the buyer
government
doesn't need to
protected.
Know all that. Kind of. But what the buyers really care about is the down payment. So to answer at the top of the show, you said, is it more affordable? It's not more affordable, but you can do less money down and it's easier to qualify. So for example, you know, on a jumbo loan, typically we need 10% down. A lot of banks are 20% down on a jumbo loan, and they're more conservative with how much of a payment they'll let you have. So a lot of the jumbo lenders will say your payment can't be more than 43% of your income. But on a Fannie Mae loan, which is just your standard, regular, conventional loan, they'll allow you to go up to 50% of your income, which may not sound like a lot, but it makes a big difference, you know, when somebody's, you know, house price, you know, home payments are higher. And so it's a lot easier to qualify for Fannie Mae loan that's not a jumbo. So specifically the down payment requirements, if you're first time home buyer and it's not a jumbo loan, conventional loan, you can do 3% down as a first time buyer or 5% down as a second time buyer, somebody that's owned a home in the last 3 years. So that's a big deal. Now you can do 3% down on a higher amount.
That's huge.
Yeah. The conforming loan limit that you can now go up to is $766,550 starting in 2024.
Correct. Yeah, it starts January 1st, technically, but we can actually do those loans right now. So, I mean, if somebody wants that, we can do it. And plus, if you make an offer tomorrow, you're probably...
Oh, because you're going to be closing.
Yeah, basically closing dates. I mean, lenders are doing these loans at the higher amounts now. We have banks that we work with that'll do them now.
A scheduleloanappointment.com if you want to talk to Brian about how to do that. So you can borrow up to $766,550 by, you know, that's what you're borrowing. That's the total number you're borrowing. And so you have a couple calculations. If you're going to put 5% down, you're a second time buyer, you haven't owned in the last 3 years, or 3% for first time home buyers, you have numbers that they can go up to on their purchase price, because now you're talking about Correct. Adding that 3% or that 5% down payment on top of the $766,550. So give those numbers, and then I'll paint a scenario where I think this helps buyers in a certain price category.
Yeah, so this is going to help more people qualify to buy homes that didn't qualify previously. So, and keep in mind, it is the loan amount. So, I mean, you could buy $1 million house and get a loan for $766,000. And that's going to help some people as well. So it's the loan amount we're talking about. So for example, if you did a $790,000 house, you're a first-time buyer, which is defined as haven't owned a home in the last 3 years, you could do 3% down, which would put your loan amount under $766,000. So you can now do, and this was just announced this week, you can now do 3% down on a $790,000 house if you have not owned a home in the last 3 years.
$790,257.
Oh, there we go.
So that's the exact number.
I was rounding.
You were rounding. But Rob, I like, as a buyer, you know, and working with a great agent like yourself, where it's like, hey, we can position this offer at $790,000, or we can position the offer at $790,257. And your buyer is going to ask the same question that the listing agent and the seller are going to ask, why the 257? And then, Rob, right, as great agents, we can say, hey, our buyer and I have decided that we are presenting an offer with every penny we possibly can afford. So if the house is 825, this is a great negotiating tactic. Mm-hmm.
You're onto something.
Okay, like, I'm going to give you everything I possibly can do to make this deal happen. And then a seller says, well, geez, they're really trying to make this deal work. I'll tell you which group of buyers this really is going to help. This new, what I believe, this new loan limit increase will help the most. When we come back, we also have an update from Brian Skelly on how the Fed feels about your housing market. You're listening to CT Real Estate Radio. Rob Wallace, Byron Lazine from The One Team, along with Brian Skelly from William Ravis Mortgage. We'll be right back here on 94.9 News Now, Stimulating Talk. Welcome back, CT Real Estate Radio, 94.9 News Now, Stimulating Talk. Byron Lazine and Rob Wallace from The One Team at William Ravis Real Estate. The One Team is not just a name. It is the number one team in most sold transactions year to date here in 2023, after finishing the entire year number one in the state in 2022. We help more buyers, sellers, and investors than any team in the state of Connecticut. If you'd like to have information on your home buying, selling, or investing needs, reach out to us at oneteamct.com, oneteamct.com. We're also joined by Brian Skelly, William Ravis Mortgage. You can connect with him at scheduleloanappointment.com. And I got to tell you, this week, being, you know, outside a little, you know, I like to get some fresh air. Been smoking my cigars inside, but I like to get at Bongo Ron's, by the way, in Old Saybrook.
I'm great, with you on that.
Great mm-hmm. spot there. Mm-hmm. We gotta get over to Bongo Ron. I was there last night.
Yeah. All right. We gotta stop by this week.
We gotta get in there.
Yeah.
Because it's nice, warm, and toasty there. But I do like to get the fresh air. And I noticed how cold it was. And that led me to think, geez, I hope people have figured out their residential tanking needs by now. Winter is here. Mm-hmm. If you've got a residential tanking need, you're getting ready for the spring to sell a house, the ground's not frozen yet. Maybe you have an underground oil tank that needs to, like Rob, those underground oil tanks, they need to come out before you sell the house.
Agreed.
It's found in the inspection. They're going to make you do it then if the ground's frozen. You know, not to say service station equipment can't do it, but you're going to make the tank man, Dougie Brunn, really upset if he has to go through the frozen ground. Let's get those deals done now. Service Station Equipment is your residential tank specialist to take care of all of your residential tanking needs. Reach out to them at 1-800-801-TANK, 1-800-801-TANK. Ask for the tank man to come help you with your tanking needs. What hasn't tanked is the amount that you can borrow from the bank. In fact, it's went up, Brian. The FHFA increased the conforming loan limits, which is like a Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac loan, to $766,550 for 2024. That means that if you were to put 5% down, you could buy a home up to $806,894 with just 5% down, or with just 3% down, you could buy a home at $790,257 with that standard Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac conventional loan. So my belief is any buyer who's been looking in that 700, 750, 770 price range in 2023, who's been constrained by inventory with the lowest inventory in Connecticut across the country, and they're like, man, what I want for 750 is really an $850,000 house. Now, with 5% down, you can offer the 806, 894. I would use the exact number, right, Rob?
Like, exactly.
Make the offer stand out. $806,894 on that 849.9 house. Say, hey, I put together every single penny available to me that I'm able to offer you. The house has been on because now we're getting into a little bit more inventory in those price ranges specifically. Just a little bit, not a lot. We have the lowest inventory in the country here in Connecticut. So I don't want to gaslight you here, but we're seeing it tick up a little bit. And you see that, you know, happen when you start to get familiarity with the rates, which is what we're experiencing here. And you can now tell the story as the buyer and get closer and close the gap on the home that you want and where you can afford. I know that only helps few. We're talking about some big numbers there.
Yeah, one of the category too is the credit scores I didn't mention before the break. This will also help people with a credit score in the 600s because most jumbo lenders typically want to see 700 credit score. So these banks that are doing $1 million loans, $2 million loans, they want high credit scores. But on a conforming loan, which is not jumbo, you can go down to 620 credit score.
So that's across the board, whether you're looking at a $200,000 house or a...
Correct. Yeah. And it's based on loan amount. So if somebody had, like, for example, if somebody had a 650 credit score and they were looking at $1 million houses, they are going to like this news because now they can buy that $1 million house and get the 766 loan amount with a credit score as low as 720. Previously they couldn't do that because the jumbo credit scores are typically higher minimum credit score requirements.
Wow.
All right, Brian, you sent some news this week about the Fed. FOMC is going to meet, I believe, December 14th, 15th. I think the market has it pretty much priced in that they're not going to increase. The markets, the public has felt pretty good that that's going to be the case. You've seen stabilization on the 10-year. In fact, you saw the 10-year first time since September get under 4.3, did pop up over 4.3 at the end of the week, but that's still under... You know, the barometer I've been looking at, staying under 4.4, keeps us in the low sevens for the 30-year fix with the relation to the, just gauging off of the spread the last couple of years. That keeps us in the low sevens here, which is what we've seen the last few weeks. We're looking at an interesting angle from the Fed blaming the housing market for inflation, but that they have a solution for that. Is that
kind of, I don't know if they do.
They don't have a solution. Okay. So
they're aware of the problem. I was listening to a podcast earlier this week, there was an interview with, it wasn't Powell, it was like the number three guy at the Fed. I apologize, I don't remember what his name was, but he said something that was really interesting. I was driving my car, I'm listening to this podcast, and he goes, we're concerned about housing inflation being the primary concern. And I was like, oh, this is really interesting. I'm excited to see what he says. And then he changed the topic and started talking about something else, didn't address how they were going to fix this problem. So I did a little bit of research before the radio show, and I was like, well, this seems like an interesting thing to talk about. And I found an article. It said that while overall inflation has dropped from 9.7 down to 3.2 in November,
yeah,
housing inflation is still really high. It's still like 7% on housing inflation. And this is, I started thinking about it. It's a really interesting dilemma they have, because the main tool that the Federal Reserve has is either they can raise rates or they can lower rates. And neither one of those is good for housing inflation, because if you think about it, if the Fed lowers rates, what's going to happen? You're going to increase demand for housing. Rates go down, you're going to get a lot more buyers that want to buy a house. And when you increase demand for something, that makes prices go up. So if they lower rates, prices go up. If they keep rates high or they make them higher, then the payments are higher. You know, it's ironic. Like, they're fighting inflation by raising rates, and it's making everybody's housing payments higher. And not just for homeowners, too. I mean, if you're a landlord, you know, rents are a factor of what the landlord's paying for their mortgage. So I don't think it's a problem that they're going to be able to fix soon. I mean, you've talked about this many times. We need more supply. We need more homes.
Exactly.
That nobody talks about supply in the government. You know, Connecticut, we talked about the great program Connecticut has run. This is a great program, by the way. Time to own program.
Absolutely.
The issue with it, there's no issue with it. It's a phenomenal program for first-time home buyers. The issue for those first-time home buyers is, and this is what every state does, it's not just Connecticut, is they stimulate the bottom. Okay, let's make it easier for first-time home buyers who are competing for this lack of inventory to get a down payment, to get a lower rate. Both of those are true with a time to own. Lower rate and down payment help. The program's funded for 2 years. A phenomenal program. Problem is, where's the supply? Where's the inventory for them to make it easier to actually secure the deal? And so you don't see it in DC. You don't see it at the state and local levels. You don't see it from the Fed, where anyone has a clear, concise plan of bringing supply, of stimulating what I call the top, stimulating the builders to have a lower cost of construction and development, easing up on the zoning restrictions. I know that's a hot topic for a lot of people as well, but making it where they can build product for less money without the red tape, and then hold them on a deal that's, you know, that puts that those prices at a certain point, to at very least bring more supply naturally will bring prices down. The other thing the Fed fails on is if you look at inflation like Europe does, and you pull that make-believe number, owner's equivalent rent, that we go by here in America when we look at CPI and we look at the overall inflation number. Owner's equivalent rent is a survey that's been around since the 80s, where the government calls homeowners and say, hey, if you had to live in the similar home, what would it rent for? Well, these are people who have lived in their home. The average person stays in their home 13 years. They aren't
actually getting that data from the homeowners.
Yeah.
These homeowners don't know what their equivalent rents are. They're not paying attention, probably. No,
of course, because they're not a property manager. Not a landlord. They're a homeowner who's living in the same house 10, 15, you know, years. And if they've got a home phone that the government's calling them on or filling out a piece of mail, I bet you they lived in the house for 25 years or 30 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, this is an outdated metric that they don't want to use. Wall Street Journal did a whole piece on this. It's a make-believe number.
Wow.
And it makes up, get this, over a third of inflation. So wow. Yeah, inflation is high because you're getting inaccurate data. If you look at the last 12 months, rent prices across the country have decelerated dramatically. I'm not saying that they've gone down. I'm saying they've decelerated from plus 16% last year to being flat, or in some cases down a percent or two, some areas of the country. You're seeing inventory come there. That's where you've actually seen it work. Inventory in Tampa, inventory in Nashville has brought rental prices down. You'd see the same thing on the for sale market if you get the inventory. And so, to your point, to wrap up the Fed dilemma, they thought prices would come down by just jacking up the rates. It didn't happen because Americans said, no, this is the only asset I can trust. Okay. They're not tied to faulty mortgages. 4 out of 10 homeowners don't even have a mortgage. Okay. So people want to own a home. There was just a study, there was a survey rather from a real estate agency, marketing agency, branding agency, Gen Z and millennials, 95% of them want to own a home in the future. The dream exists. The Fed's trying to ruin it and make everybody renters. You can react to that, Brian, because I know you got more on these Fed thoughts, but you can react to it when we come back. You're listening to CT Real Estate Radio. Chaz Cook will be taking my spot here, and we'll be right back. 94.9 News Now, Stimulating Talk.
CT Real Estate Radio, Chaz Cook and Rob Wallace of the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate, joined by Brian Skelly from William Ravis Mortgage. And Byron checked out for this little segment here, but he may be back. I don't know. We're playing a little tag team right now, so you may hear him come in again, because I guess before we went to break, you guys were talking about inflation and housing affordability and how that affects everything. And we definitely want to hear what your thoughts on that are, Mr. Skelly. But first, we've got to bring you this week's One Team Weekly Rewind, brought to you by Service Station Equipment. And they say that there's supposed to be some seasonality in the real estate market up here in New England, but for us over here at the One Team, we're not really feeling that, and I'm excited to bring it to you guys this week. We've got 4 new listings, 13 under contract, and 8 closings. Our first new listing is a gorgeous remodeled 3-family home, 17 Sherman Ave in Meriden, Connecticut. It hit the market for $409,000, 7 bedrooms, 3.5 baths. This place was gutted and redone top to bottom, just under a total of 3,300 square feet. Let's see. You're being so close to private transportation. This home makes it attractive for tenants to get around easily. Step into 2 beautifully designed 2-bedroom apartments in the front building, where each unit boasts a seamless fusion of style and functionality spread out in the open concept living spaces. Kitchen has brand new appliances, cabinetry, and countertops. And then you've also got another 3-bedroom townhouse attached in the back. So that is a lot of bang for your buck at $409,000. I mean, this is completely empty, so you can come in there, you can set your own rental prices, and turn this into a cash-producing machine. Again, that is 17 Sherman Ave in Meriden, Connecticut. Hit the market for $409,000.
Amazing opportunity.
Yeah, you can reach out to Ariel at oneteamct.com to schedule your private showing if you are looking for that type of opportunity. Next up, 141 Opening Hill Road in Madison. Did you guys see this one? Hit the market for just under 1.1, 4 beds, 3.5 baths, just over 4,100 square feet. It is a classic Peter Smith colonial, and it's in the Manzoni Farm neighborhood. Is that near where you grew up?
Not too far.
Not too far. But I'm not going to go too far into this one. I don't want to get people too excited because it's under contract. So congratulations to Allison on that one. And again, that was 141 Opening Hill Road in Madison.
Very quickly.
Yeah, they got a really nice offer. I was talking to her about it the other day. They got a really nice offer. They liked the terms of it. They decided to not even write out the weekend and finish out the showing. They just said, you know what? We're really comfortable with this offer.
Bird in the hand.
That's right. And so they took advantage of it and they stopped showings right then and there. So again, big shout out to Allison for getting that one listed and under contract, 141 Opening Hill Road in Madison. Next up, we've got 2 more units over at 66 High Street, the award-winning development done by the Horton Group. First one is unit number 52. This one hit for $1.75 million. 2 bedrooms, 2 baths, just over 2,000 square feet. Brand new construction, state-of-the-art. Everything done here is done on a premium level. We're going to give you an opportunity to come and check this one out in the open houses. But if you would like a private showing of any of the residences that are available over at 66 High Street, you can reach out to Nicole at oneteamct.com. Because our final new listing is also at 66 High Street, unit number 55, also hit the market for $1.75 million. 2 bedrooms, 2 baths, just under 2,000 square feet. So this one is a little bit smaller, but still comes with all of the bang, all of the amenities that you get over there. You're overlooking the Marcy's. It's absolutely stunning project. The final building is up, and these are some of the last units that will become available. So make sure you reach out to Nicole at oneteamct.com so you do not miss your chance to check them out. Under contracts, 13 of those bad boys. Woo, I love it. We had under contracts in New Haven, Westerly, Rhode Island, that is, Middletown, Salem, Madison, Norwich, North Brantford, Plymouth, Madison, Canton, East Hartford, Guilford, and Waterford. Closings, 8 of those. Congratulations to our buyers, sellers, and investors. We had closings in Guilford, Middlefield, East Hartford, Simsbury, New Haven, Southbury, Torrington, and Norwich. Open houses. We've got a few of those going on for you guys. We have open houses going on today, Saturday, December 2nd, right now in the middle of the show from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 141 St. Francis Woods Road in Madison, Connecticut. You can head over there and say hello to Emily. It's going on again till 1 p.m. today, 141 St. Francis Woods Road in Madison. Going on tomorrow, Sunday, December the 3rd, it's supposed to rain. So if you're looking for something to do indoors, you can head up to Kent and see our good friend Rod Cross at 12 Old Homestead Lane in Kent, Connecticut from 12 to 2 p.m. tomorrow, Sunday, December 3rd. Or if you want to stay local, you can head over to 66 High Street between the hours of 12 and 2 p.m. on Sunday, December 3rd and see any of the available units as well as those two new listings that I just mentioned. And if you're busy today out maybe getting a Christmas tree, which we'll be talking about here in just a little bit, you can have an opportunity to head over to 141 St. Francis Woods in Madison, Connecticut from 12 to 2 p.m. on Sunday, December the 3rd. And that is going to do it for this week's One Team Weekly Rewind. And Brian, right before we went to break, you were about to give us some insight or maybe some tips and tricks on what people can do to help fight off inflation, bring costs down, or maybe encourage some people to sell their homes because we need inventory.
Yeah. So just to kind of recap what Byron and I were talking for about before the break is housing costs is becoming a big topic as in the fight against inflation. And it's not going to be easy for the Fed because if they keep rates high, payments are higher because rates are higher. Mm-hmm. That's a big part. So what, I mean, your housing payments are determined by the rate and the price of the home. Now, if they lower rates and rates go down, I think if we see mortgage rates get down into the sixes again, which definitely could happen, or hard to imagine if they got under six again.
A 15-year was in the sixes this week, right?
Yeah, you could. Yeah, average 15-year is in the sixes. So the interesting thing is if rates go down, that's going to create more demand for housing. There are a lot of people that were interested in buying a home last spring and they took a break and they're waiting for rates to come down. So even if rates come down, then prices go up. So you're kind of darned if you do, darned if you don't. If
good old
rates go down,
demand.
Prices are going up. If rates stay high, then payments are high because rates are high. So if I worked at the Fed, I'm thinking, and we were talking a lot about we need more homes. We need more homes. There's not enough homes for everybody wants
one.
You need
to incentivize the builders.
Yeah. So, I mean, inflation affects building costs too. You think about what a house is made out of. It's nails. It's 2x4s, drywall. The cost of labor to pay the guys to build this house.
At the peak of inflation, you were right around, you were just under $300 a square foot, right around 270, I believe, was like as high as it got. Where typically, I remember seeing like 150 to 200, maybe 210, 220 if it was more of like a premium home. Mm-hmm. But 150 used to kind of be the going rate, and now we've almost doubled that.
Yeah, so I think, you know, if the Fed does take that approach that they're going to keep rates high to get to lower inflation on building costs, that's a strategy that could work, but not overnight. I mean, we're talking about it's going to take years and years before they build enough houses to create enough supply for everybody that wants one. So,
right. Think about it. So let's say soup to nuts in a perfect scenario. There's no shipping delays. There's no permitting delays to break ground on a home from the time you break ground to the time it's ready to be moved into and you get the CO, certificate of occupancy, 6 months. Probably one of the tightest time frames, and that's an absolutely perfect world.
Yeah.
And then we know that there's always things that pop up here and there.
We got stuff falling down in the studio.
Nice catch.
Kelly's a fast hand.
The tree is falling. The tree is falling. This tree is jealous because they know we're going to be sharing with you guys some of the One Team's favorite places to go and cut your own Christmas tree. And right now the tree in the studio has said, hey, I'm not on that list, and I want to know why.
All right, I guess it's time to segue to the next topic. What are we talking about?
Behind the segue, the tree said enough about inflation and inventory and all those other things. I want to know, it is the season. It is December 2nd. We are 2 days into the final month of 2023. Where are some of the One Team's favorite places to go tag and cut your very own Christmas tree? Well, number one, we know this one because it's near and dear to Byron's heart, Lee Barr's heart. Rob, you live up in that area, right?
I'm like 5 minutes away.
And not only is it a tree farm, it is also like a farm farm. You go there for pumpkins. You go there for vegetables. You go there for everything and anything in between. And that is Gear Tree Farm at 852 Voluntown Road in Griswold, Connecticut.
Great spot.
Great spot. Next up, voted by the One Team, we've got Joseph's Tree Farm, 208 Kirk Road in Hamden, Connecticut. So another great place where you can take the family, spend a couple hours, walk around, find the perfect Christmas tree, chop it down, go through that whole experience. Maybe if you have a young little kid, you can teach them how to use a saw for the first time. I don't know. But we've also got Homestead Tree Farm, which is at 320 Old Grassy Hill Road in Orange, Connecticut. And we've got a few more on that list as well. Just some of the One Team's favorite ones. And then we've also got our full blog up on our website where you can check that out at theoneteamct.com. But we're going to finish sharing with you the One Team's favorite places to go and cut your own Christmas tree. And we're also going to tell you a little bit more about the southernmost ski resort in all of New England when we come back on CT Real Estate Radio 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk. Real Estate Radio, Chaz Cook and Rob Wallace of the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate, and joined by Brian Skelly of William Ravis Mortgage. If you would like to talk to him more about inflation, which apparently our tree does not, and or your home buying needs, you can reach out to him at scheduleloanappointment.com. And gents, before we hit the break, we had started to share some of the One Team's favorite places to go and tag and cut your very own Christmas tree. But before we finish that list, I have a very important question for the two of you here, because we're gonna learn a lot about you right now.
All right.
Well, one, do you go and cut your own tree?
Sometimes. Okay. Not as much recently, but so in the past I have.
That answers one of two questions. I was gonna say, real or artificial?
Last couple years we've been going artificial, but yeah, I have a history of cutting trees.
You're
growing
breaking
up.
My heart over here at scheduleloanappointment.com. Rob, real or artificial?
I've done both, but over the past couple of years, real.
Real. I've only been real. Cooper, producer? I'm an artificial. Oh, artificial. All right.
It is.
We've got two artificials and two real trees. I tell you, I'm going this weekend to get my tree. I'm probably going to frequent one of these places.
The cost of trees is a lot more.
I tell you, what are they?
I got paid $100 last time I got a real tree.
Yeah. I seen on the news it's going to be high this year too.
Yeah. Luckily I have a small house, so we can only get like a 7 foot tree, right? We only got like a 1,000
only 7 feet.
House. Yeah. Only 7 feet. Only about $80 to $100. Yeah, about that. But I mean, if you had like tall 10-12 foot ceilings and you're getting like a 14 foot tree, they're probably $200.
I mean, I remember when I bought my first house out, like, you know, 15 years ago, I got a tree for $25.
$25. Yeah. Was it Charlie Brown tree?
It was. I think it might have been like the December 23rd special.
December 23rd special.
Nah, you gotta pull the Griswold and go get it on your own.
That's what I'm talking about. There's something about like it kind of kicks off the holiday season, right? Obviously, we had Thanksgiving that really kicks off the holiday season, but moving into that Christmas spirit is going and picking out that tree, bringing it home.
Deciding. Yeah, especially you got little kids too. Yeah. It's such like a
good
rite of passage, mm-hmm. like as a kid going out and cutting down the tree.
Absolutely. Right. And then you have, obviously you get it at home. You're like, oh, this is going to fit perfectly. And then you start bringing it in the house. The branches are all catching on the door. There's pine needles everywhere.
Everywhere.
Like, all right, might as well get that over with, because for the next 30 days, that's what we're going to be dealing with. But no, you put it up in the stand. You run your lights around it. Yeah, your hands are all sticky. It's like becoming Christmas when you do that. Not unbending some branches on an artificial thing and
one of the good things about living in a cold part of the country is I don't know if they do that. You can't cut trees down in Florida. I don't think there's no evergreen farm.
Probably not any that would compare to the Miller Tree Farm, which is another one on our list here at 301 Tri Mountain Vernon Road in Southington, Connecticut. I mean, they've even got this one going through the wrapper, so they like shrink wrap it for you. Have you seen them do that?
Mm-hmm.
That's a cool process. They cut it, you cut it down, you drag it, then they trim it up at the bottom, and then they put it through that shrink wrapper so it's easy to bring inside.
And nets it up for you.
Yeah.
And then they give you that twine, like that.
Twine to tie it down to your car.
Signature Christmas tree twine.
I mean, we could do a whole segment on that, because that's something, you know, you see like a Prius driving down the street with a 12-foot Christmas tree.
Yeah.
It's like, never thought I'd see that before, only in New England. And only in New England can you head over to the Dolan Christmas Tree Farm, which is at 69 Kelseytown Road in Clinton, Connecticut. I mean, look, it's like 10 minutes from your house and you have an artificial tree. You could go to the Dolan Christmas Tree Farm at 69 Kelsey Road.
You're talking me into it.
In Clinton. We're getting ours this weekend. Do you have yours up yet?
Not yet, no.
Rob, you have yours up yet?
Nope, usually, Cooper? But not yet.
Yeah, see? I wanted to go last weekend, but we were lazy, so we're going this weekend.
Yeah,
I did the leaves last weekend, so.
Oh, fair enough. All right, what else do we have on this list? We have Van Wilgen's Garden Center at 51 Valley Road in North Branford, Connecticut. Again, you live in Branford. I mean, all these places are surrounding you, Brian. I think we're going to guilt you into a real tree.
I went to this one last year. It was actually pretty nice. I like closing wrapped the road, drove by it. I was like, I need a tree. So I just stopped there, grabbed it.
I like the Bayuso trees in Branford are really good.
With it.
It's in a parking lot behind Kohl's, but they're really nice trees.
All right, I dig it. All right. Next up on the list, we've got Jones Family Farm at 606 Walnut Tree Hill Road in Shelton, Connecticut.
That's where I went when I was a kid. My grandfather took me there every year.
Yeah.
Jones Tree Farm in Shelton.
So we'd love to hear from you 94.9ers out there. You can comment on our social media pages. But what is your favorite tree farm? And if you'd like to see some more of the One Team's favorite tree farms from around the state of Connecticut, you can head over to our website over at oneteamct.com and check out our blog. And now we're going to wrap it with, I had no idea about what we're about to talk about here. I mean, I've heard of the place. I went there as a kid. We had ski club as a kid. But a couple things I didn't know about it. One, I didn't know it was the southernmost ski slope in all of New England. Two, I didn't know it closed for a number of years.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, you don't necessarily get a lot of snow when you're the most southern ski resort in New
England. True.
And if you haven't figured it out yet, we're talking about Powder Ridge. This is a New Haven Register article. And it's titled, How an Abandoned Connecticut Ski Resort Was Turned Into a Year-Round Attraction, by a couple of brothers. And now, Rob, you've been to their other place, Brownstone, right?
Brownstone, yes.
Which is over in Portland, Connecticut.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about that, and then we'll tell them a little bit more about what they're doing over here at Powder Ridge.
Oh, it's fun. So much to do. Kids everywhere. So if you have kids, stop by. It's a great outdoor attraction and just swimming and so much stuff to do.
Are they year-round as well?
No.
So they're a seasonal. Okay. Yeah,
correct. On
and so now they're taking
mainly a swimming, you know, they have some scuba diving sections for the grown adults, but they have a big, most of the sections for kids, and it's just swimming.
All right.
And some what do they call them?
Ziplines.
Zipline.
Yeah. Okay.
That was the funnest part.
Into the water. You do the zip line into the water.
Hit the water. You go over it.
Oh, that's cool.
That sounds fun.
So now that the same two brothers who created Brownstones have taken over Powder Ridge, and they are turning it into a year-round resort. And they go on to say, imagine an ice maker the size of two stacked shipping containers spewing chunks high in the air for days at a time to create a football field's worth of frozen water in a 24-hour period. That is, I mean, two shipping containers.
Wow.
That's what it takes to create a snow tubing course at Middlefield's Powder Ridge Mountain Park and Resort. That tube run was set to be ready for action by Black Friday. That's what the CEO goes on to say, that is what we refer to as our snow factory. CEO Sean Hayes of Powder Ridge, gesturing proudly at the $1.5 million snow, Dima Klenko Snow Pro 260. Did I say that right?
They went with the Snow Pro 260. So. Interesting choice.
Interesting choice. What are we, Tim the Toolman Taylor over here? But here's the kicker. It doesn't make snow. It makes granulated ice, which they can till to a fine, almost powdered snow.
Yeah, good reminder. I mean, if we don't get any snow this year like last year, and your kids want that winter experience, like these ski resorts have snow.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were saying, you know, we used to have a good 60 days of snow. Now we're only down like 30 days. So
last year we literally had one day of a snowstorm, and then by the afternoon,
I don't even think I turned my snowblower on this year. Although the Farmer's Almanac is saying we're supposed to get a lot of snow this
year. They said last year too, though. So.
Did they? Hopefully. Who knows?
So their tubing course that they're creating with the Turbo 260 there is a 450-foot long run. I would love to be like up in the top there and ride a tube down 450 feet.
No,
like that just sounds like a blast. Hey, I guess I'm a kid at heart. I'm over 40 and I still want to go and do it. They're hoping that the tubing will bring in between 200 and 500 daily visitors as the season ramps up. Wow.
Yeah, let's support our local businesses. They just spent $1.5 million on the snowmaker. I think let's get them some tubing tickets as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you know, though, this article kind of goes deeper into like the history of Powder Ridge here. The park was in 1970 set to host a music festival billed as the second Woodstock until the town pulled the plug at the last minute, resulting in a legendary fiasco that inspired a recent documentary.
Oh, I didn't know. I went to a concert there in the summer 2 years ago. It was fantastic.
Really?
At Powder Ridge.
Wow.
And because it's a ski mountain, it's like a natural hill.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically put the stage at the bottom of the hill, like kind of right in front of the lodge.
Yep.
And it was just kind of like a big natural amphitheater. And I had a great time. It was fantastic.
I would go to a concert there and check it out.
Yeah.
But what really made me want to share this article with everyone out there is that in 2006, Powder Ridge actually shut down. And they were shut down for 7 years. And I didn't realize that. I mean, we would drive by. I never drove by it that much in the winter. But, you know, we would go hiking up there sometimes. And obviously it would look closed. But I didn't know it was completely shut down for 7 years.
Yeah.
And until 2012, caught the eye of Hayes and his brother, Ed Frank. of the Hayeses, Ed and Frank. The trio had launched the Brownstone Exploration and Discovery Park in 2006 at the site of an abandoned quarries in Portland alongside the Connecticut River, making it a seasonal success. Sean Hayes said he saw the same opportunity in Middlefield. We want to create a destination, Hayes said. We did it at Brownstone. We took a property that was basically a giant liability to the local town and converted it into outdoor recreation.
Yeah, it's a giant quarry.
Right. So that's, they just filled the quarry with water, I'm assuming?
Yep.
Yeah. Interesting. They realized that the only way to do it was they had to redo the entire business. So they actually kind of modeled it. They took a look back at the Zemel brothers, who had added a pool club and a host of summer activities to Powder Ridge to keep revenue flowing in warmer months. New technology and sports trains allowed for even more options. Powder Ridge soon added activities like mountain biking, paintball, disc golf, and zip lines, water slides, and an AstroTurf-like synthetic tubing run added to the summer fun. So that's like a slip and slide right there. You got water slides in the summer. You got snow or finely granulated ice. Mm-hmm.
There's a nice restaurant there too. It's not just like you think of like the old like 1980s ski lodge with like the cold cheeseburgers. It's like that's not what it is. They have like a legit restaurant. Yeah,
that's what they're saying. The chef that they brought in for this restaurant bar has reality TV fame, and he revived it. Fire at the Ridge is what it's called.
Yeah.
Wow. They hosted 75 weddings and corporate events there last year. Wow. So in 2022, Powder Ridge added the Haunted Trail attraction, a chairlift ride followed by a half-mile walk through the woods infested with spirits and ghouls. More than 15,000 people hiked the trail in 15 days. So they had 1,000 people a day, even with every weekend being rainy for the entire fall.
And if anybody knows the Zemel or the Hayes brothers, let them know that we pitched their resort pretty hard on Real Estate Radio. If they want to send some free lift tickets for my kids, send them on over.
No, they want to reserve a lane for the one team to come up
there.
Exactly. Right?
There we go.
That's what we're looking for. No, but I'm really excited to see what the Hayes brothers are doing out there at Powder Ridge. I mean, they really do have something for all season. Obviously, we're heading into winter, which is why we're kind of promoting the tubing part of it. Mm-hmm. They are going to be having a winter festival with Santa Claus.
Oh, I'm looking at the photos here. This winter festival looks cool.
Yeah. So really excited for that. I wish I would have caught it earlier. We could have sent them there for the haunted trail walk. But then in the summertime, you've got water slides. I mean, they've zip lining, you name it, they've got it. So great job to them supporting a Connecticut, I guess I would call it an icon, Powder Ridge. I mean, everyone knows about Powder Ridge. No one goes there back in the day.
Right.
Because we would always go to like Southington or somewhere else like that.
Right.
But I think that
we were talking about the Crystal Mall.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about like the movie theater in Brantford. Mm-hmm. Not a movie theater anymore. There used to be a bowling alley in Brantford. It's not a bowling alley anymore. Like, we're running out of stuff to do with kids. So it's really like, and this is real estate related. I mean, they're developing this real estate.
It's going to help the economy. Yeah.
You know, it's right. You got to have fun things to do.
So that's going to
stay where you live. So
create a place for something for everyone. It's in Middlefield, which is in the middle of the state too. So that's great. Gentlemen, excellent show. I'm sorry I had to miss the first half, but it was great catching up with you guys and sharing our favorite tree farms as well as highlighting Powder Ridge. And we will see all of you 94.9ers back next week with a fresh new episode of CT Real Estate Radio on 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk.